Hey, hey, come catch this wave with the Fix Squad. The Fix is in. I'm Mr. Soul. I'm tuning in. What you doing?
Got him. Look, real hip-hop revealed that it fits. Pure, you can feel it in the mix. Finally stop pushing the culture forward. This is it. Proceed at your own risk. Got him. Beats, bars, and life, giving them truth in it. Screaming revolution with only a few minutes. My sentiments exactly everything that we do clutch. Another reason to turn the volume up. Sheesh, know what we stand on. Solid ground when we land. Say it's no use, the culture is out of hand. But not out of reach, we gotta stick to the plan. Dark days for the sunshine, and it good news, I'm proof that it's living. Yeah, revolving the art, the shot, go with it, keep it a beat, so the plot don't miss it. Welcome
to the city, stand up. James left, but the king still reigns here. No tears, no love lost, no rain here. Delivers, I promise, Santa rain here. Love for the city still resides here. Fix for your ailment, faith that resides outside the lines. Detox your mind, cause it matters. Art outside the box, we pace better. The fix is in, and we rock a channel. We rock with them for what's deep within. Expose those who talk but don't live. Expose those who talk but don't live. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they speak, so tell me whose face do they see? Repeat. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they seek, so tell me whose face do they seek?
Yes, sir. You're now tuned into The Fix, your source for faith infused hip hop, R&B, and poetry, right here on Sirius XM, channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. It's your boy DJ Focus checking in.
And it's your girl Dice Gamble in the building checking in. Happy Monday, everybody.
We back.
Yeah, we are. Wake up.
How was your weekend, Dice? How was your weekend?
Man, fans. Fans, fantastic. I got to go outside, hang out, you know, get a little bit of air, you know, relax, take some naps. And that's what I needed. I needed just a break. You know, we've been on a go. So I enjoyed it, man. What about you?
Take some naps. I like the way you say take some naps.
Take some naps.
Multiple. That's like
multiple. Okay. Naps.
Yeah. You know, I love a good 20-minute power nap. My wife laughs at me, but I always get me like these little quick little 15, yeah. 20 minutes, and I'm rejuvenated. It's like, I'm good.
Shut it
After
down.
That, it's
That's
like,
right.
I'm ready to go conquer the world. So, That's yeah, thank right. God for mm-hmm. naps. Sometimes you just need to shut down and just get you a nap.
Go lay down somewhere. I know.
Absolutely. Man. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Once again, you're tuned into The Fix. And of course, our mission is to expose the culture to positive but relevant music that keeps Jesus Christ at the center of the message. And we appreciate y'all waking up with us this Monday morning. Listen, we got a fun-packed show for y'all today. When I say this real talk going to be different today, Dice, we need to talk about it. You know, how do you handle disagreements amongst believers? You know, once you change your life around a little bit, you have a disagreement with somebody, whether in the faith or outside of the faith, it should be a little, your approach should be a little different to how you handle the disagreement and making sure, you know, you communicate properly and showing the love of Christ to a certain extent. Once again, so yeah, this is going to be real. I know you excited to talk about this one, Dice.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I mean, you know, I'm not one foot of conflict, but guess what? Every day there are disagreements between, you know, people and homes. Go ahead. Family. Relationship.
No, I was going to say you was going to say you're not one for conflict because you just delete numbers. So yeah.
Yeah. Y'all shut that down real fast. Yeah. Yep. Delete. You're right about that. Yeah. I mean, I just don't like wasted energy. You know what I mean? Because we could just be loving on each other or growing or, you know, just doing something that actually matters instead of fussing and complaining and not coming to a conclusion. Now, if we're just going back and forth and then we get to an agreement, that's awesome. But sometimes we will have to agree to disagree, but we're going to talk about the steps and how you should go about things and what that looks like. And, you know, just how to deal with this conflict, you know? Some people just avoid conflict and that you don't get nothing done doing that. I'm going to be honest with you. You don't get nothing done. So you need to face everything head on. Face it head on. Just face it.
Sometimes that's tough though, Dice. I get you. You should. But sometimes when you're dealing with fools, the Bible is clear when it says you're dealing with a foolish minded person. No. I have to go to Proverbs for this. When you're dealing with a foolish minded person, wisdom and discernment tells you not to deal with it, Dice. So I'm just going to put that out there in the atmosphere. So we're going to talk about it. Yeah, that real going to be off the hook. Listen, our spiritual detox features one of my brothers. Let's be very clear. Shouts out to everybody from East Cleveland, Ohio. That is my city. That's, you know, my stomping ground, high school, grade school, everything. And, I get a chance to, talk with one of the, you know, I'm gonna give him his roses because, you know, coming from where we come from, not too many people really succeed and do anything positive. My man has been writing hits for the last 25 years. That's right. The last 25 years.
25 years. He
was in high school. He was writing hits. So he is a singer, a songwriter, a producer. Super talented, and he is the brother of Cleveland legend Jason Champion from the group Men at Large. We're gonna get our brother Jay Sean Champion on today to talk about everything he all the hits, talk about his faith journey, talk about a little bit of everything. So keep it locked for that exclusive Spiritual Detox. You don't want to touch that dial. Let's get into this music, Dice. There's so many bangers dropping. We got music on the way. Yes, we're gonna get some 1K Few on the way. We also have, let's get some, oh my goodness, Star Ringo keep dropping all these bangers. So new Star Ringo on the way. The ladies are representing. So we got Childlike CeCe coming down the line, Angie Rose, Toya Love, Wande, Portia Love. Listen, B Rose. Just turn your radios up. Wake up with us. Let's get to this music. We're coming right back. Keep it locked. You tune into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
New videos, music, articles, devos, and more. Stay connected. Get the app now so you don't miss a thing. Visit holyculture.net.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. And listen, it's time for our spiritual detox. And, you know, they be talking that trash, talking about nothing good come out of East Cleveland. But, you know, not only am I a living witness, it's a lot of good brothers and sisters that took what they had and made some good choices in life and, you know, were able to do some powerful things. And I would argue this young man, he's a producer, he's a songwriter, he does it all. A lot of times everybody's talking about what his big bro does, but I really want to highlight him today. So listen, without further ado, let me help me welcome in the super talented Jason Champion. What's going on?
What's happening, family? I appreciate you having me today, man.
Yes, sir, man. Yes, sir. I don't say that lightly, man. Like I say, I've been watching you move. You got 20 plus years, man. No, seriously, like I don't think people really know. Like,
25.
You've been behind the
25 plus
Of doing producing, yes, of writing songs, and I'm talking about hits.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and say a few of them.
God has blessed me to write hits for Genuine, Joe, Faith Evans, Fred Hammond, Drew Hill, Tony Braxton. I wrote a song for a duet for, at the time, with two of R&B's giants. One was Usher and the other one was another young man named Robert Sylvester Kelly. And it was a song called Same Girl. That was the biggest song that I've written to date. But since then, God has blessed me to be able to write for a lot of other independent artists. Last year I had a hit that SiriusXM was playing like crazy. Fell in Love, an artist out of Kansas City, Missouri, named Lavelle. It was featuring Anthony Hamilton and just a whole bunch, man. Just a whole bunch. Over almost 25 plus years, I've been writing records since we were in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. And didn't know that. And didn't know that that was what God was making happen for me. I had no clue. I thought I wanted to be an artist.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wanted to follow behind Big Bro.
Right.
Listen, so before we talk about the artistry, let's talk, because you brought about your faith. Speak a little bit to your faith journey, your faith story, for those who may not know about how strong that is.
Well, man, you know, listen, like most of us that grew up in church, I was taught everything I was supposed to know about Jesus and him dying for us and all that. But I didn't gain a real relationship with him until I got grown in my 20s and I needed him. And he showed out. And so ever since he showed out in my life, I said, okay, yeah, this thing is real. He and I, we got our bumps and bruises along the way, but he keeps showing me every day, man, I'm here and I love him.
So with your songwriting and you starting off, like you say, started off when you was in high school, you start, you know, doing the songwriting and producing. Talk about, you know, where you saw your faith in the middle of that and not being stuck in a box and saying, I can only do faith-based music.
Well, honestly, dude, my mother and my grandmother, they really just wanted me to do gospel. But it was my grandfather, who was a Baptist preacher, that said to me, you can be saved over here and you can be saved over there too. You can do the same thing without doing the same things that they do. Mm. You be different from them, but you do your job. So basically, when I'm writing the R&B, when I'm writing pop records, it is my job. That is my career, you know? And, you know, you move differently. You can't do what everybody else do. I'm not going to take what you take, and I'm not going to talk how you talking. But I'm going to do my job. Mm. So that's basically how that is. And somebody will come to you and say, hey, Jay Sean Champion, he's a little different. Like, don't do that around him. He don't do that. And I've gotten that before. I've gotten that kind of respect before. So, you know, God to be praised.
Yeah, that's good. So talk about it, man. Let's be very clear.
What's that, man?
You grew up in a different household because, yeah, your brother was a star early. Let's be very clear. No. I don't know what that feeling is like to grow up in a household where your big bro is a star.
Yeah.
Let's be very clear. Yeah. Men at Large is one.
Yes, sir.
They're iconic stars for us. We talk about usually it's a few groups you're going to say here in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Usually it's going to be Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Definitely.
The next thing you're probably going to say is going to be Men at Large.
I can't forget about the Rude Boys.
Well, so I'm not, listen, shouts out to everybody, Rude Boys. But I would argue that Men at Large kind of was like,
yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I know they're under the same camp.
I understand what you're saying, but it was, Men at Large was definitely an image that you will never forget. I understand exactly what you're saying.
That's all I'm saying.
When Men at Large was at the height of their 15 minutes of fame,
yes,
they were huge.
Huge.
Like, literally and figuratively. Like, they were there. Definitely. I just think that at the time, they didn't capitalize like they should have as far as, you know, what the industry wanted them to be like. I'll say this. They didn't get out enough.
Okay.
Like these days, you see people going here, going there, going to this party, that party. They didn't get out enough. They should have spread their wings a little bit more than just going to do shows or whatnot. I remember Dave was just talking to me a couple weeks ago. He was like, man, I used to tell Gerald and them, hey, man, let's go out to this party in L.A. It's an industry party. Let's go to these Grammys parties. Like, while we're at the height of our situations. But nobody was thinking about that because we was cool here. We was big. We home. We stars. I loved when I was 14, 15 years old, and my brother had a 94 Blazer. I'll never forget this. A 94 black Blazer. And when he would come pick me up from school, that was the coldest in the world. Because I would stand out there.
Everybody knew.
And everybody like, yo, that's Men at Large. That's his brother. He wasn't lying. Like, all that kind of stuff. So that kind of made me popular in school. And then when I started singing, that helped even more. So it was pretty cool.
Talk about that too as well. Just being able to be around the legendary, iconic, rest in peace, Gerald LaVert. That whole camp, because that was different.
Listen, Gerald. He was incredible. Like, there's as an artist, Gerald LaVert live. You would want to, if you're an artist, if you're a singer, performer, you would really want to study Gerald LaVert, because Gerald LaVert gave it to you. He gave you everything on that stage. He didn't leave anything on there. Going to see Gerald live would literally mortify me. He was incredible. Great songwriter. And I learned a lot from him. And I didn't get a lot of work with him. One time I was working in Atlanta at Evander Holyfield studio, and Gerald was in town. Called him. I was like, gee, come to the studio and let me write a record. He said, all right, cool, come get me. Went and got him, took him, brought him back to the studio, and he and I and Lil Ronnie, who I did the same girl record with, we did a song for him years ago, man, called Good Looking Out. So it's a record we never released, but it was dope. I told Gerald, I said, gee, I don't need none of that pretty stuff. I'm going to need you to give me old Gerald, Private Line Gerald. And he did, man. It was a dope record. Rest in peace,
G. Absolutely. Listen, DJ Focus, we got to go to a quick break. We're coming right back. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix. You know The Fix is in. Welcome back. DJ Focus. You're tuned back into The Fix, your source for faith infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. And listen, we're having a great conversation with super songwriter, producer, singer, Jason Champion. So let's talk about it. I can talk this with you because we are blessed to be a part of music history because it's in our city.
Most definitely.
We are live here in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes, sir.
In the Sirius XM studios. Talk about what 50 years of hip-hop means to you.
50 years Come on. Of hip-hop.
Talk about it.
Bruh, let me tell you, I fell in love with hip-hop in 1992. I will never forget it. It was Scenario
about
Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
That's when hip hop pulled me in. I was like, yo, at first I wasn't liking it because I was the kid. I was listening to Take Six at 8 years old. I was listening to their first album. I didn't know that God was shaping me into this songwriter, arranger, producer when I got of age, but I was listening to that stuff like, and other kids listening to NWA and Too Short, but I didn't like that because it was too dirty. I was such a church boy. But when I heard Scenario and then I heard We Got the Jazz, We Got the Jazz, I was like, yo. And then West Coast came with Snoop.
Mm-hmm.
I was done. No, it was Dr. Dre's first album. I will not call the name, but I fell deeper in love with that album because I was like, yo, hip hop is it. And I have been in love with hip hop ever since, man. It has shaped me to be 100. MCs are the best songwriters in the world.
Wow.
Period. Eminem is bar none the best lyricist I've ever heard in my life. The best rapper, I should say, because of the way he rhythmically uses words and puts words together. It is unfathomable. He's incredible. I love J. Cole. Another one. That kid, grown man, is remarkable. Kendrick Lamar, in this day and age, never seen nobody perform like him in my life. I was blown away. When I heard Good Kid, Mad City, I told the cats at the barbershop, I said, Kendrick Lamar's going to go down as one of the best MCs of all time. They're like, man, it's too soon. I said, you're crazy. When I saw him live, I said, I was right. In 95, when Eminem first dropped with Hi, My Name Is, I said, this white boy, Lord forgive me, this white man is about to be one of the best, and he's going to go down. He's going to be here for years. We was in high school. They were like, yeah, whatever, Jay. He cool. No, he's going to be here, and he's here. Well, now we can just go to Shade 4-5. You know? So,
yeah,
hip-hop means a lot to me, man. I listen to hip-hop often. What Nas is doing right now is incredible. 50-year-old man, killing him. This lets you know all you got to do is do it the right way, and don't be corny with it. Don't be trying to be what these kids are. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
But just stay on top of your craft. LL did a freestyle the other day that I just posted on my Facebook. Like, yo, L is really still dope,
mm-hmm.
killing.
Mm-hmm.
So 50 years of hip hop, man. I guess we could talk hip hop all day,
mm-hmm.
all day long, man. That's what it means. I'm 43. Hip hop has been here, is 7 years older than me. So it's been a part of my life, and it rules the world right now. Period. Like, period, point blank. You can't go nowhere in the world and hip hop is not there.
No, I agree. What's your take on, you know, you've had more artists from the mainstream, Justin Bieber. Of course, we know what Kanye West did with Sunday Service, mm-hmm. make more faith based hip hop. What's your take on that?
I love it,
and
man.
Where you think we're at? Are you familiar with any Christian hip hop artists?
You know what's crazy? My barber, shout to Dave Banks, my barber, he plays some Christian hip hop. And I was like, yo. Right now, it is like ridiculously on another. It's the same level as the mainstream hip hop. I'm like, yo, these kids is making some incredible music. I don't know the names of the kids,
right?
But the Lecrae movement,
yes, Reach Records,
yeah, the whole Lecrae movement. He done shifted the whole gambit. Like, yeah, let's go. I'm with it. I just don't know the artist's names, but yeah, it's dope.
Would you ever produce some faith based artists,
especially
Christian hip hop artists?
Easy,
okay,
easy. Easy. I just did something with Doobie Powell. His artist, his name is Tubi.
Okay.
So he sent me a track and was like, yo, Jay, I need you to, yeah, Jay, man, you know, he talked real soft on the phone. Low, I won't say soft, whatever. Hey, yeah, Jay, man, how you doing, man? Listen, I need you to write this hook for my artist. And I sent it back to him. He loved it. They put it out, maybe in June?
Mm-hmm.
I think they put it out. A nice record called Better. Better Than. Yeah.
So for somebody who's inspiring to do what you do, give them some tips on how to be a successful songwriter.
The first thing I would tell anybody starting out is go and study why. Why is this song a hit? Why did they choose these words? Why didn't they rhyme here? Why did this melody fit here, right? Songwriting and producing is as much as it is a feel, it is also a science, okay? So you have to understand why these things happen. I am still a student to this day. That is my biggest piece of advice to songwriters. Be good. Be a great person. No matter what. I don't care how cold you are. I don't care how gifted you are. Be a good person. Move with integrity and know your business. Know your business backwards and forwards. That was a mistake I made earlier in my career, not knowing my business. Had I known my business earlier in my career, I would be a lot further than where I am right now. Know your business. Don't just sign anything because they're giving you a piece of a couple dollars. Don't do that. No. Understand. See what you're signing. Take it to a lawyer, an entertainment lawyer, because lawyer, you can't just take it to a lawyer. I do real estate. Can you look this over for me? No, they could break it down to you, because basically the lingo is all the same that they use, the wherewithals and the fortitudes and all that.
Right.
But take it to an entertainment lawyer so they could best tell you how to move in this industry we call music.
What's some struggles with working with artists? I mean, come on, I know you're a producer. You in the lab, you in the studio with them. Come on, be real. What's some struggles sometimes? Because I know you have to be a leader and you have to be a hard critic sometimes. And I know some of these celebrities that you work with, they think it's all to all. If they do it once, they feel like that's it. But I know you as a producer say, wait a minute, no, maybe add this, take that away. So just talk about some of the struggles.
Sometimes you have some artists who won't challenge themselves, right? And they say, oh man, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Just try it. So I have a lot of tricks. I say, hey, yeah, that was good, man. That was really good, but do it again for me. I think you could do it better. That was dope. And it really wasn't dope, right? All the struggles that I've had to, I won't name this name, but one time me and Joe Little, we had to go to LA and we had to work on an artist who was in a group. He went solo and blew up, right? But he decided to come back to his group and do another album. And we had a song on this album. And he was very superstarish. The rest of the group was cool as a fan, man. You know, humble. What's going on, man? Especially with Joe. This is a group. I'm with Joe Little, the Rude Boys, written all over your face. They right. were all, but this guy, he had blown up the world, all over the world. So he brought that into the session. And I was trying to produce him, and he had that air about him. I don't know what Joe said. Until this day, he would not tell me. Joe said, cut the mic off. I'm about to go in here and talk to him. I don't know what Joe said, bro. But he was in there he was looking at anime while we're working. And I'm young. I'm like, what, 20, 21 at that time? Joe went in that booth. I don't know what Joe said to him, but it was kind of demonstrative, the body language. And he came out of that booth. It was no problem from that point. So that was maybe one of the worst times for me. But I've really not had that much of a struggle, because most of the artists I work with are really, really good. But it's the ones, some have insecurities about what they do. And I'm like, yo, I'm telling you, you can do this. And it is my job as the producer to bring that out of them. And if they can't do it, I got to find something else that works just as well as what I gave them to make it work on the record. So it still makes them look incredible as well.
Listen, Jason, I appreciate you coming through, rocking with us, man. Tell the people how to connect with you, follow you on all your social media platforms.
On Instagram, the number one song at a time, all one word, song, S-O-A-S-O-N-G, at T-Y-M-E, all one word, A-T-A-T-Y-M-E, one song at a time. Facebook, Jayshawn Champion, J-A-Y-S-H-A-W-N, Champion, just like we are the champions, my friend, just like that. And you'll find everything else from there, Threads, Twitter, whatever. I don't even be on Threads or TikTok, barely. But, yeah, that's how you find me, man. I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate y'all. I really feel like I've made it, and I'm going to go tell my mama. Mama, I was on the fix today, man. Like, DJ Ryan. Night, Focus, the family.
Listen. To God be the glory,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Listen, appreciate you rocking with us, man. Keep doing what you're doing, King. Listen, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back with more. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix. You know The Fix is in.
Holy Culture Radio is operated by the Core Link Solution, a 501c ministry dedicated to empowering people to reach their potential. If you feel led to contribute to this mission, visit www.holyculture.net/donations.
I'm Justin Adams, and this is your To Fix Faith and Sports Report. And our Monday verse comes from Proverbs 15:18, and it's pretty simple but very effective. It says this in the New Living Translation: a hot-tempered person starts fights, a cool-tempered person stops them. Again, a hot-tempered person starts fights, and a cool-tempered person stops them. Now, we're using this verse today as the New York Post is reporting that Shannon Sharp will be joining Stephen A. Smith on ESPN's First Take on a part-time basis. The three-time Super Bowl champion will be facing off with Stephen A. on Mondays and Tuesdays. Now, Shannon was the former Fox Sports host of Skip and Shannon Undisputed before leaving the show in June, and obviously that show was with Skip Bayless. Now, according to Stephen A. Smith's podcast, it's not a done deal yet, though, saying in the report that the signing is a bit premature, but either way, Skip Bayless, he is looking to respond by having his own debate rotating cast of partners. And this list is going to include Richard Sherman, former NFL defensive back, also former ESPN star Rachel Nichols, and rapper Lil Wayne, along with the possible addition of another former NFL wide receiver, which is Keyshawn Johnson. So that should be very, very interesting to see how all this turns out, to say the least. Now, elsewhere, we had one preseason game in action last night as the New Orleans Saints, they beat the Los Angeles Chargers 22-17. Tonight, the Baltimore Ravens, they would take on the Washington Commanders. In baseball, the Detroit Tigers, they got past the Cleveland Guardians 4-1, and the Guardians, they are slipping out of that AL Central race as they are now 6 games back of the Minnesota Twins. The Cleveland Guardians, they will look to get back on track on Tuesday as they host the Los Angeles Dodgers for 3 games. Also, the San Francisco Giants, they get a bases-loaded walk in the ninth to rally past the Atlanta Braves 4-3. But don't worry, Atlanta. You guys are up 13.5 games in the NL East with only 39 games remaining in the regular season. I think you'll be just fine. And finally, in the Women's World Cup, shout out to Spain as they won their first World Cup as they beat England 1-0. And finally, DJ Focus, this one's for you. There are only 12 days until the Ohio State Buckeyes begin the season against Indiana. I'm Justin Adams, and this has been your To Fix Faith and Sports Report. Now back to DJ Focus and Dice Gamble as the fix is in.
And we back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. And it's time to get real in these streets, son, Dice.
Real as real can get. That's all we do. I hope you never come on here and you're like, all right, Dice, it's time to get fake in these streets.
I do. I want you to get fake one day. I want you to just, like, you know, we're going to have a show on that. Fake Christian. Fake Christians. We're going to talk about that one day, too. Fake Christians, yes.
Oh, man. I love the fact that you brought that up because there was a rapper in Atlanta and he had a song called Fake Saved. And it's crazy because he's one of those who he doesn't do Christian rap. But I wanted that song to come out so bad, so bad. But it's called Fake Saved, bro, because it's been a vibe. It's go ahead.
No, I get it. It's definitely been a vibe. Well, we know historically we had the hit by Lecrae and Thizzle, faking, talking about the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, they went on and they built better relationships, and they were kind of, I know Thizzle made comments like he don't know if he would ever do a song like that again because he didn't really build any relationships with any of the mainstream artists to even see spiritually what they believe. We talk about it all the time, the importance of being discipled, the importance of being up under somebody to teach you this word. They're rich. They're on the road all the time. It's hard for them to even, you know, sit down and open their Bible for a lot of them. I'm going to say it's hard, but a lot of them, they choose not to. And I'm pretty sure it's because they're busy. But, I think, you know, we still got a bunch of, I ain't even talking about the non-believers or the people who are not in the circle right now. I'm talking about the people that's in the pews.
The circle. Not the people.
Every week. Oh my goodness. Snakes in this business. We got snakes in this business too. I pray I don't never release this book, but I got a book. God keep festering or something. I've been in real, real hard prayer because I want to make sure it's God telling me to do it, not flesh.
Mercy.
So let's be very clear. But yeah,
that's a whole nother topic right there, I guess.
In the industry. Yeah, it is. No, it is. So that's why I said, you know, I want to make sure I'm doing what God has called me to do, not just me, you know, having what they call it, one of those bitter moments. Like, you know what? I had enough of y'all. I'm going to bring this East Cleveland out of me and let y'all know.
The East Cleveland?
I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's a whole nother gentleman. Hood gentleman, yeah, pray for me. Yeah, we used to handle things a little bit different back in the day. I'm trying to be correct. But you know what? Yeah, forgive us. Real talk topic today. We're going to talk about it. How to handle disagreements amongst believers. I think this topic, we had an opportunity to talk about, you know, Lecrae and D1 last week. And I don't think it was a heated debate or heated conversation, but they just saw it from different perspectives of how they viewed righteousness. So, yeah, I thought this would be a good topic for us to talk about, you know, just handling disagreements the right way. And we're talking about the kingdom way. Once again, not the what I was just talking about when I said East Cleveland. That's the hood way. That's all flesh. So anything I would have did in that and any type of, you know, get back. Nah, I don't want to be a part of that no more because I've done that petty stuff before. And it doesn't end well. Let's be very clear. It doesn't end well. It usually doesn't end well. So, yeah, what's the first thing that comes out to you, Dice? You think about handling a disagreement. If you had a disagreement with one of your sisters of the faith and you need to have a conversation with her.
I'm so glad you put of the faith on there.
No. I'm talking to believers today. This is other faith today.
You talking to a believer, but my heart kind of dropped because I'm like, boy, if you only understood, like.
So give us both sides then. Go ahead. So give us the hood side because that's real, and then give us the transformed side of you walking as a believer. What the Bible say? Let's do it that way.
I was going to bring this up later on, but since we're right out the gate with it, it's very different. It depends on the dynamic. It depends on the family. You know, I'm the oldest, so they're just conversations we are not going to have. They're and respectfully, my younger sisters do not test me. You know, I mean, it's proven. It's just not, that's not what we're going to do in this family because I understand my position though. You know what I'm saying? Like I give them their floor time and then when I show up, like I'm icing on the cake. Like this is it. You know, next to my father, you know, there ain't nothing else to talk about. So, and I'm just built different. You know, you were talking about East Cleveland. So the way I show up, you know what I'm saying? Like, but if it's a problem, it's a problem. You know, so they're very gentle with me concerning confrontation. And it's not that, you know, I'm not any different than anybody else. I think you could be as Christian as you want to be. You still have emotions, you know, but biblically I'm cautious with them because I want to set the example. But because I am, a person of the faith, I set that example, you know, so there are just some quote unquote arguments or confrontations we will not have, you know, because they do know the ramifications of that spiritually and depending on the day, physically.
Oh, wow. You say you're going to learn today. I got time today, huh? Okay. I got time then.
I'm just saying, I show up. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they love me and they give me so much respect and I give the same to them and they are really good at calling me. Like, we don't do this blast, you know, we ain't internet blasting or text chat blasting or, you know what I'm saying? Like, we call each other, you know, like, pick up the phone. Hey, Ronnie, I need to talk to you. You know, like, woo, woo, woo. Like we do things the way we should, like, you know, one-on-one, direct, you know, here's the situation. And then, but we also know how to receive from each other. So that, to me, when you talk about confrontation, I'm only going to have a confrontation with you if you're disrespectful. You know, like there, we should never be having a super heated discussion unless I feel like you intentionally did something. You know what I mean? Like if it was an accident and you're a sister or brother in Christ, when I come to you, you should be able to feel that spiritually. Like, oh man, I really just need to apologize to you. I had no idea. You know what I'm saying? And then the other person, if they're of the right spirit, they'll know. They'll be like, you know, I understand. You know what I'm saying? I forgive you. And this is how we do moving forward. You know, so I don't know. That's why I'm really, you talk about you got to be out of the world when you become saved. And the world, I think you and I both are from, you already know, like, you got to be out of it. You know, you can't be like halfway in and halfway out because you will have problems. I know that was a long drawn out explanation. My point is like-mindedness will help you concerning confrontation if you go about it the right way.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up the right way. And definitely, some key things you brought up. Absolutely. One, your language, your body language when you communicate, that really starts how the situation is going to go. And I'm telling you from experience, I have been in a lot of heated conversations. And a lot of times I can tell from the first 5 seconds of the conversation where this conversation is going to go. And now it's up to me to choose. Do I get into the confrontation with the person I'm having this conversation with, or do I digress and let them just go off as long as they don't put their hands on me? Yeah, God, I'm like you. Yeah. You, when you start tussling and you put your hands on me, pray for me. It's a whole nother person to come out. I don't know. I don't want that person to come out. But I have been in heated conversations where it could have went to blows if I didn't keep myself calm and understand that if I get like aggressive with this person, like they're trying to get aggressive with me, it's not going to go well. I've actually been into a multiple situations to where the person told me afterwards, maybe, you know, not right afterwards, but later, you know, yeah, I was upset. I was really wanting to fight with you, but you know, when you came to me, when you talked to me, yeah, you made me think about it. I was just on 10. I said, yeah, I know you was on 10. I said, yeah, listen, I didn't want to be on 10 either, but I wanted to have a conversation with you to understand what your part in this was. So I can give some examples. So once again, I used to, you know, I used to loan money out. This is years ago. I'm way removed from that now. I'm at a place right now. God has blessed us.
Wait a minute. You ain't going to let me borrow no money? Hold up.
No. I'm not. So absolutely. I was sowing to you. But no. I don't loan out money anymore for this purpose, because unfortunately, a lot of the people that I loan money out to wouldn't pay me back, or they wouldn't pay me back when they told me they was going to pay me back. So don't borrow money from me and say I'm going to pay you back in 2 weeks and it turns into 4 months.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's a whole. So every time I see you, you act like I'm supposed to just give you grip and give you a hug. No. Where my $500 at? like at this point I feel like you're playing me. So this is what I'm saying when I say, yeah, I stopped for that point. I stopped. I said, you know what? Me and my wife and I always talk about it. Anytime we sow into anybody, it doesn't matter. We talk about it. So that way we know we sow into that person. We just sow that seed. We don't expect it back. Now, if we don't have it to sow, we'll tell you we don't have it right now at this time. In the discussion. Ain't no hard conversation, ain't no arguments. Absolutely. If we release any dollar amount from $1,000 to $1, we just sowing it. We're not looking for it back. God bless you. And then realize that we're not going to keep sowing on the regular. So when you come to me, it's like that that lifeline. I forget that game. But yeah, when you phone a friend and you use that lifeline. Yeah. Now, you know, you use this lifeline. Don't come back no more. Don't come back no more, because yeah, we ain't the free charity thing where you're gonna just get money, hard earned money that we worked for, that we worked to get ourselves into a financial place to where we can do this, and you're not doing what you need to do with your finances. So yes, I had some hard conversations. A lot of mine were about to go down over money being loaned out and people not want to pay me back, because I have a kind heart, I was always one to look out. I'm big on take care of your team, or take care of your hood, you know, to people, your loved ones, your community. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No different than how the church, you know, and the church still is with the benevolence fund. But I was had that whole mindset, like, you know, they wouldn't have called me if they didn't really need me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's where we at with that. Listen, we having a great conversation. We got to go to a quick break. Don't touch that. We're talking about how do you handle disagreements amongst believers. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. Keep it locked. You're tuning into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. And we're just talking about, real talk today. How do you handle disagreements amongst believers? So I know I was saying before we went to break, just on me being able to understand and the importance of understanding and reading body language when you have or you go to somebody and you want to talk out a disagreement. Like I was saying, a lot of times I could tell within the first 5-10 seconds if something was going to pop off. And I started to control myself more in the conversation. And I heard a lot of people, you know, come back to me saying, you know, I appreciate you coming to me and talking to me, you know, in the mild manner that you talk to me, because I was ready to go all out. And the funny thing about it is I'm not saying I'm perfect, but in every last one of these situations, I did nothing wrong. They mad at me because I'm coming to them asking for my money. I'm trying to figure out You gonna get mad at me because I'm asking for my bread back that you said you was gonna give me back. You asked for a loan. You said you was gonna pay me back. Now I'm sweating you is a problem because you passed the date that you said you was gonna pay me. I'm trying to understand how does that work. And I had to understand, one, I'll be honest with you, and the reason I was so upset because two times, I took away from my household, Dice. So this, I wasn't in the same financial situation I am now to where, all right, this was a bill that I was looking to get back. You say you're going to give it back to me 3-4 days when you get paid. I'm okay. Now I can't pay my bill. And I had the money to pay my bill, but I loaned you looking out for you and you mad for me because I'm saying I got to pay this bill. My wife don't understand why I took money from our household and bless you with it and why I can't get it back. So I got to sleep tonight. I got to pay this bill. And you wondering why I'm in your face asking for my bread back.
Yeah, it's a lack of accountability that exists out there. I mean, I think that's why we have so many people in debt. You know, I brought this up to my husband before. You know, people sit here, oh, God, why I have so many bills? I'm like, because you said you was going to pay these people. You got the service done. You know, you got your face done, your teeth done, your booty cheeks done. Whatever you get done, you wouldn't got it done.
Not the cheeks, Dice.
They calling. They want their money. Or they coming for the cheeks. Like, which one is it? Yes. So go ahead and buy the new car. Buy the car you can't afford. Trust me, they will roll up on you. They will find you. They will get that GPS location. You think you're going to the mall, come back out, and your Tesla going to be gone. Like, your integrity is everything. You know what I'm saying? It's super important. I'm glad you did explain that example. Here's the thing. You body language is one thing, focus, but we're in an internet world now, and sometimes you don't even get to see the people face to face, or they won't pick up the phone, or they text, or they inbox. And, you know, it's weird. It gets weird. But I like how you said, when I ask you where my money is, Matthew 18 and 15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. A lot of times we don't even do that part. So you're good at confrontation. Some people are not good at confrontation. Some people will just sit there and be screwed. You know what I'm saying? And be like, oh, they got me, and won't ever say anything. You know what I'm saying? Or whoop, whoop. But the Bible's very clear. If your brother sins against you, you need to go and tell them, hey, this is what's going on between you and him alone. If he listens, you know, you've gained a good brother, you know, and if not, you know, you need to kick rocks, you know. But I just, some people don't want this confrontational piece of confrontation. And it is what it is. It's going to be uncomfortable. And you have to get uncomfortable. Because here's the thing. You will never get your money. You will never get what's owed to you. The Bible's very clear. Ask, seek, knock. Hey, I'm at your house knocking on the door saying, hey, where's my woo-woo? We just got some things we got to do. So we could talk about this topic all day long. But it needs to be one-on-one first. And then if it can't go like that, then I got to get somebody else involved, maybe a church leader, you know, or something like that. Maybe have one of them come and say, hey, you know, Brother Johnny said he let you borrow his car a month ago. You were supposed to turn it back in 3 days ago, 3 days after you got it. It's been a month and he needs his ride back. So either you can give me the keys, I'll take the car to him just to keep the peace, you know, or the next people to roll up going to be the popo. Like, you give people this opportunity. And so we're supposed to handle our brother and sister very gently, even in word, when it's time for confrontation, you know? So I don't know. It's tough because people do turn up quickly when they've been wronged. You know, that's a part of Christianity. We have to, you know, kind of master the art as we walk through this walk. But anyhow.
So what happens when it's your church brother? What happens when it's one of the church leaders? I've seen firsthand, unfortunately, pastors call out certain people without saying names from the pulpit and talk about sins that, you know, they might be trapped in or struggling with without going to them personally. What happens if you're sitting right there and you know you shared some information with the church leader or the pastor and now they're preaching a sermon or they're talking about you. And now when you walk into the church house, everybody knows your business.
Why would everybody know?
Yeah, well,
why would everybody know?
That's what I'm saying. This is why these be disagreements, because once again, you have a certain person that goes and maybe talks to a deacon, an elder, or a minister, or even the pastor, and then now it's supposed to be confidential information. You're supposed to be helping me and working through. For instance, I'll say, you know, so somebody who's struggling with sleeping around, fornicating.
Yeah.
You know, they're struggling with it. They're constantly going. They're asking for prayer. They're asking for scriptures to back it up. They're asking for you to intercede for them. They're asking for you to give them different outlets to do different stuff to where their feelings are not attached to where they continue to keep laying down with these people. But they're still stuck in it. But then you 2 weeks later, you walk into church and sister girl in the choir and the praise team know about you. And you don't even know sister girl in the church, but she's giving you bad looks. Or the pastor preaches a whole sermon pretty much on everything that you told them. Like, I've seen it a lot. So this is what I'm saying. The disagreements, and then the person who felt like something was, this is why a lot of church hurt happens. They go to the pastor or they go to the leader and say, well, you know, what was that about? You know, I thought our conversation was, you know, between us, and I thought you were helping me through this process, not gossiping and telling all my business to everybody.
But this is the BBB. It was the Better Business Bureau. This is easy. I'm Yelping you. I'm Better Business Bureauing you. Like, if I come to you and I say, hey, this is what, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I told you about my business. You went ahead and preached a sermon next week. I mean, you might tell me you felt led to go on and teach on that topic. I can receive that, you know. But if you went ahead and gave intricate details about, you know, my personal whatever I shared with you, that's a problem for me. Like, we're going to have to hash that out. And it don't matter if you're a pastor, bishop, apostle, like, I still get to confront you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we still going to roll up with this Matthew, and I'm going to let you know you really have sinned against me, because you took a whole covenant that said you was going to, you know, cover me differently. So no, it's the same way. And then if people have been abused, this is another thing though about this church thing. If you have a leader who is abusive like that, we need to start speaking up. So now we go as a group, right? So there are steps to this. You know what I mean? Like, now we go, if some of us, you know, if it's 10 of us, then we 10 of us got to show up at church early on a Sunday and have a whole conversation, a documented conversation, because if it ain't documented, it never happened. But we need to write down all of our challenges, and we're going to still have this confrontation, you know, and then we're going to call your leadership, because every church got some type of overseer or leadership. And maybe we sit you down. Maybe you take a break because you don't know how to shut your mouth.
You say,
maybe that's what we do. Okay. Yeah. Because everybody ain't perfect. And some people had these seasons of just running their mouth too much. So anyway, this is a good one. It's going to take us a couple of shows to really get through this one, because there's so many good tips you could give people about confrontation. You know, how you handle it. Knowing, hey, this ain't personal. This is definitely, you know, something we have to go through in life. It could be a personal attack though from the enemy as well. You know, so you kind of gotta, you know, see what it really, really is. You know, like, what is this going on? This transgression. You know, sometimes people just get caught up, focused. Sometimes people can't pay you back your money because they just should have never asked you to borrow money.
Facts. Facts. You definitely shouldn't have asked me, because I'm coming back for mine.
Oh, Lord.
I need mine. And lucky I wasn't like loan sharking y'all jokers.
Give me that wedding ring. Come on up off that wedding ring.
Shoot. With interest. Lord help me. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that is goodness. Yeah, listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gabble. We're talking about how do you handle disagreements amongst believers. We got to go to a break. We're coming back with closing thoughts. Keep it locked. Yeah. Tune into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
And we back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix. And it's been real, Dice. You know, I feel like, you know, that real talk conversation today, how to handle disagreements as believers. You talk about conflict resolution and everything. Yeah, we going to have to dive into that. We ain't done with that. I think we tiptoed on it a little bit. So I think we're going to have to pick it up tomorrow on Tiptoe Tuesday, huh?
Yeah, Tiptoe Tuesday, part two. Might as well get on into it. Because it's a lot to say. It's a lot to talk about. I mean, it's a lot of information to share too. You know, hopefully we're helping people out and we're not just, you know, venting, because I know you and I can get on one. But I think people need to know how to better deal with conflict. I think they need different ways of how to deal with conflict. And I think the number one thing is we need to know, what did God say about how to deal with conflict with our brothers and sisters? So this is a good topic.
Yeah, definitely good topic. Listen, shouts out to my brother from East Cleveland, my brother Jayshon Champion. for joining us today. Super songwriter, producer, singer. He does a little bit of everything. Listen, he got creds with everybody. R&B side. Listen, he's writing hits for his brother, of course, Jason Champion, as well as gospel selections for him too as well. Listen, Jay Holiday, the Cheetah Girls, Faith Evans, Fred Hammond. Yeah, you want me to keep going? The list goes on and on. He's been writing these bangers for a long, long time. For a little bit of everybody. Lavelle, Usher. Listen, he got creds everywhere. Silk, Omarion. I can keep going, y'all. So that just shows y'all, you know, when you put the work in, some of the silent assassins you don't hear about are the songwriters who just sit at home. They're gifted with that pen and they can write hits. So that's why we brought him on today, because you can learn something from him. For all my songwriters out there who think you don't have, you know, or you have a gift, you know, poets out there who got a gift of writing. Yeah, yeah, maybe you might not be where you think you should be as a poet or as a singer, but maybe you got this gift to write these hits that other people will pay you for, or you can receive royalties for the rest of your life for songwriting credit. So just keep that in mind. And he's a believer. I'm glad he came on here and shared how he can be in the space of working with mainstream artists in hip hop and R&B, as well as in gospel, and how it doesn't compromise his faith with the songs that he writes. So listen, shouts out to my brother from East Cleveland, Jason Champion. Definitely shouts out to Big Bro too as well, Jason Champion from Men at Large. Everybody knows both of them for being, you know, yeah, I'm giving them both roses. Cleveland legends, East Cleveland legends. So shouts out to them. Come on, Dice. I know you say it's, you know, got to report. It's National. What day is it today?
It is National Internet Self-Care Day. Today is the perfect day to practice self-care and show some love for yourself. Okay. This is an annual event. It was created by Mental Health America in 2018 as a way to promote positive mental health through online activity. So as you know, focus is hard for us to get away from all things internet. But one of the things that you get to do on this day is unplug, take a break, take a few hours, or take the rest of the day after this show goes off. You want to maybe create a wellness plan concerning how long you actually stay on the internet. You want to focus on only meaningful connections on this day. So stay away from the foolery, you know, just more positive and meaningful conversations, and choose content that's uplifting and healthy today, you know, and give back and some extra gratitude online. So it's pretty cool because this day was designed to help you reduce your stress levels, you know, and stay connected, but get some more healthy habits in your life. So that's why it's called Internet Self-Care Day. So yeah, while you're on the internet, take care of yourself.
Please take care of yourself. And mental health is real. Please take care of your mental health. So
it is real. So
a lot of y'all need a week off of it. Y'all just need to take a week away from it. Just stop. Just stop picking it up. Because some of them need a week, guys. Just stop it. Just get off of the internet.
People nervous. They're going to have a panic attack.
I ain't making them no panic attack. They need, that's the problem. That's why they need to detox. That's the whole problem. You can't be away from your phone and the internet for a day and you think you got to have a breakdown.
Let's say a
something
minute.
Wrong.
2 seconds.
Yeah, well, whatever. Listen, that's our time for the day. We appreciate y'all rocking with us. Go out and be great today, kings and queens. Continue to show the love of Christ, because that's what Christ would want y'all to do. Listen, I'm telling y'all, tomorrow we're going to pick back up. We got to have a part two to this conversation, real talk, how to, you know, handle disagreements. But when I tell you the spiritual detox hit different tomorrow, we're going to get a Grammy-nominated Best Gospel Artist, you know, award-winning singer, songwriter on with us tomorrow. I ain't gonna tell you he is. You just better tap in. I'm just telling you, though, she can sing for real. So you definitely want to tap in for that exclusive spiritual detox tomorrow. She's a CEO too as well. So yeah, and she's a female lady, that owns her own record label. So that's big too as
nice.
Well. So you want to tap in tomorrow on Tiptoe Tuesday for the spiritual detox. As always, remember to stay focused on turning your negative into a positive. Jesus Christ is always the answer. Kingdom advancement should always be the goal. The fix is in. We out.
Peace, y'all.